Amen, amen. Psalms chapter number 19 tonight. Praise God. Let me give you just a little nugget of what the Lord dropped into my spirit. Praise God, this week. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Psalms chapter number 19 and beginning at verse number 7, the Bible says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. And the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. And the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous all together. Praise God. I'm so thankful for the ways of God and this word that we call our Bible. Amen. I'm thankful for the laws of God. His ways, the Bible said, are above our ways. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are his ways above our ways. And his thoughts are above our thoughts. Praise God. Amen. And that can be too hard to comprehend. Many times, not the fact that he has to think too much to get above my thoughts, but it's just the fact that they are infinite and that he knows the end from the beginning. And he's already got answers before there's problems. Praise God. That is God. Tonight, I simply want to preach to you for a few minutes of time this thought. Potentials, limited power. Amen. Potentials, limited power. Praise God. Amen. Let's ask the Lord to help us here today. God, here we are before you tonight. We can do nothing without you. Lord Jesus, we are looking unto you, the author, the finisher of our faith. God, you've given us your word. Your word is powerful. It is forever settled in heaven. I pray, Jesus, that you would help us here tonight. Let the anointing of your presence and of your spirit reach down and just touch every heart, every mind, every soul in this place, God. We'll be quick to give you the glory, the honor, and all of the thanks in the wonderful name of Jesus. Praise God. Clap your hands unto the Lord and make a joyful noise unto him. Oh, we love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Praise God. I'm so in love with you, Lord. Praise God. Amen, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated tonight. Let me go back and remind of a story that happened to me, and I know that I have relayed it to the church, but for the sake of the message tonight, many years ago, I was preaching at the home church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and it has two sections, or has four sections, so in other words, it has a center aisle. And we had been having this young couple come. They were in their early 20s, and they had been coming to church. Both of them were demon-possessed, and they were not ashamed to admit it. They were not ashamed or intimidated to say that they were satanic worshipers and such. And they had actually come on a dare. A young man had invited him to church and said, you know, you'll never be able to set through our service. They did. He said, you'll never be able to go to the altar and not be set free. Well, they came to the altar and they stood there. The deal is they just didn't want to be set free. And they stood there and they observed, the service, the altar service, and then they went out. They were actually very reverent and such. And so one Sunday morning, I was preaching. And they were sitting back towards the back on my right-hand side, near the center aisle. And while I was preaching a message along these lines, the man got up. His name was Michael. He got up and he began to make his way down the center aisle. Reaching the front row, he just stood there staring at me with his hands clasped in front of him down low near his waist. And he just sat there staring at me. My initial thoughts were, where are the ushers about right now? And, but as I continued to preach, he just stood there. And after a period of time of preaching, then he just kind of ducked his head and walked around and went back towards the back and sat back there with his girlfriend. And we went on through the message that Sunday morning, and I went back to my office a little bit, after service, and somebody came and knocked on my door and said, Michael would like to see you outside. And so I had an opportunity to pray from the hallway to outside. And so I pray God just to help us get through this. I don't want a show. I don't want confrontation, but we want to be able to help him if that's what he wants, help. Walked outside and greeted him, and he said, I suppose that you wonder why we continue to come. And I said, well, I won't say that hasn't crossed my mind, but you do know who we are, and we know who you are, and you have been here for a few services. And he said, well, I wanted to tell you why we come. And I said, okay. And he said, first of all, I want to tell you why I don't come. And he said, I don't come for your music. And he said, your music is good. He said, it's not my style. He said, but your music is good. He said, but I don't come for your music. And he said, and I don't come for your songs either. And he said, I don't really care for your songs and such like that. He said, but I don't come for your songs. He said, your songs do have some power in them. He said, but I don't come for your songs either. And he said, but you want to know why I come? And I said, well, tell me, Michael, why do you come? And he said, I come for the preaching. And I looked at him and I said, that's very interesting. I said, but I can understand. I said, you come for the preaching because there's power invested in preaching. And he said, exactly. He said, when you guys get up there to begin to preach, he said, there is a power and an authority that comes through the voice in the Spirit. And I said, well, I said, you're right. And I said, that power will set you free and loose you. He said, I understand that. And he said, but I can't be set free. I said, you can be. And he said, no, I'll get into too much trouble. I said, God will protect you and God will help you. And we began to verbally wrestle back and forth in this. And he said, I'm in too deep. And I said, God will be your comfort. God will be your protection and God will help you. And he said, I just wanted you to know this because I won't be back. And he never did. He never did return again. But that has stuck with me throughout the years. Amen. Praise God. Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. Praise God. There are some that may criticize our preaching and the way that we preach, but beyond understanding, far beyond their spiritual intellect and their ability to spiritually comprehend what is going on, is there is a war that is going on in the spirit, amen, that is pulling down strongholds, that is breaking down barriers, mindsets, and such through the preached Word of God. The Word of God is described oftentimes, or at least in a time, as a hammer, and that it just continues to beat on the rock, and that rock will crack and it will bust. We know that the Word of God is a sword, is sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. And it's able to get down into the joints, into the marrow of the bone. And the Bible said that it is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart. We don't even know our heart. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked, and who can know it? But the Word of God is so powerful that it sees where you will be tomorrow, and it gives you provision today. The Word of God sees, amen, what you're going to face this week, and it has the ability to enlighten the minister to be able to preach, whether he understands the fullness of it or not. Amen. He can preach, and it can be the tidbit. It can be the rock that you need to stand upon later that week. It could be the testimony, amen, that you would give to somebody as you stand there, and immediately the Word of God that has just been preached comes back to you. Amen. The Word of God is that powerful, discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Amen. We read in our text today of how powerful the Word of God is, the potential that the Word of God has. It said that it is perfect. There is no flaw within the Word of God. We believe that the Word of God is infallible. Amen. That there is nothing that is in it that is wrong, that is contrary to something. It is not just us, but there have been historians and theologians as well that have read the Bible multiple times and comparing things and would say that through it all, they find no controversy, amen, of something against something else, standing against something else. And so the Bible says and that the law of God is perfect, and then it possesses the potential to convert the soul. Amen. It possesses the potential to make wise the simple, possesses the potential to rejoice the heart, possesses the potential to enlighten the eyes. Amen. This is all these things. And so many times we have looked at people and we have looked at obstacles and things, and we have said that has great potential. You may be able to look at an old car and you can see the potential that it has in restoration. You may be able to see that muscle car, amen, as it is souped up and such, and the potential that is there for that. And not just an old car, but maybe a new car, and you can see the potential that it possesses to be extremely fast. And you can look at houses and you can say this has the potential, and others would look at it and say, well, this is a ran down thing. But somebody can look at it with a dream in their mind and say, this possesses the potential, amen, to be a great home. And you can look at all kinds of things, and you can begin to describe or begin to enjoy the potential that you see in that. And we look at the Word of God, and we espouse and state emphatically that the Word of God is powerful. And we're going to talk a little bit about it here tonight. Amen. But we can see that it has been used throughout all of time. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us in Matthew chapter number 4 that Jesus defeated the devil in his weakest moments after 40 days of fasting. Amen. Without bread, without water. Amen. That Jesus defeated the devil with the spoken word, with the written word of God. Amen. He would simply look at Satan and say, "It is written." Amen. And it was game over. It was done. It was finished. Amen. Victory had been had. And the enemy even looked at Jesus and said, "It is written that," amen, "that you would not be able to dash your foot against the stone, that the angels would bear you up." And Jesus looked at the twisted mindset that the enemy would use, trying to use the powerful word of God, and would say, "It is written," and began to combat the enemy with the word of God. And after three times of this, you notice that it was just three times that the enemy knew that he could not get Jesus to come down to his level to philosophy. He cannot get the devil to, he cannot get Jesus to come down to his level, amen, to battle upon those grounds. He could not get Jesus to come down, amen, to war in the battle of temptation, and to exalt in the exaltations of pride and glory. Amen. Jesus was firmly set, "It is written." Amen. Kind of just like what Fauci did today. Amen. And he was told he didn't even have those rights. But nevertheless, amen, as the senator would ask him, said, "Sir, what is the color of your tie?" And he would say, "Basically, I plead the Fifth. According to everything that was given to me, you know, in the Constitution, the Fifth Amendment, I stand upon the Fifth. And what's the color of the floor? What's the day and stuff?" And the man would tell him, he said, "You have no constitutional rights because you have been pardoned, and the law states this, and this." And this was the way that Jesus had, he stood upon the word that he had created. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. Praise God. I've already quoted it, but Hebrews 4:12, the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, discerner the thoughts and the intent of the heart. That is the Bible. Psalms 33:4. The Bible says that the Word of the Lord is right, and all of His works are done in truth. The Word of the Lord is right. Psalms 119:160. The Word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever. Proverbs 30:5 gives us a little more understanding. Every word of God is pure. Amen. We believe that the Word of God, being infallible, is incapable of erring and incapable of failing. Amen. Jesus would say that the grass would wither and the flower would fade, but the Word of God shall stand forever. In another place He said, though heaven and earth would pass away, my Word shall never pass away. Praise God. As a matter of fact, in the end of time, when we stand before the Lord, amen, we will be judged out of the books, the 66 books, amen, that we minister out of, preach out of, we speak life out of, amen. In this book are the words of life and death and peace and war and on and on, amen. Everything that you need can be found in this marvelous book that we call the Bible. Praise God, amen. Paul would let us in on a little revelation of understanding, and he would say that the Word of God is not bound. Paul said that even though that I am in these bonds here in this jail cell, the Word of God is not bound. Praise God. That's why David said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against God. There's going to be times that you're not going to have a Strong's Concordance. You're not going to have maybe a Bible in your vehicle, or a Bible at your job, or a Bible, amen, that is relatively close for you to pick up and to look at. But when the Word of God is in your heart, you can speak it, and the Word of God is extremely powerful. Praise God. The Word of God has been able to set the profligate man straight. Has been able to reach into the gutters and to pull out all kinds of mankind. Was talking to Brother Nathan Morgan's son the other day, and he had called me and asked me some questions, and asked how church was going. I'd asked him how church was going, and he said, man, it's going so good. He said, we've seen a few people receive the Holy Ghost. He said, even one of the drug dealers within the town had come in and received the Holy Ghost. Just saying that to say that it doesn't matter where an individual is, the Word of God is able to pierce asunder. The Word of God is able to get into the darkest area. The Word of God is able to speak to the Satanist. The Word of God is able to defeat every satanic issue and way. Praise God. The Word of God is powerful. It's pure. It's true. It's right. And it is forever settled in heaven. It was the preached Word of God that got your attention. The preached Word of God that pulled you down, amen, to an altar. Or it could have been the taught Word of God. But nevertheless, it was the Word of God that you began to see light at the end of the tunnel. You began to see hope when there was nothing but despair. Amen. It was the Word of God that began to flicker, amen, in your heart. And it's just as if God said, let there be light. And darkness had to vacate. Confusion had to line up. Amen. And there was light. Praise God. But you can remember, most of us would be able to even remember the message that was preached, or the messenger that preached the message that night that we received, or that day that we received the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. But there is the purity that is there, and the power that is involved in all of it. John 17:17 said, sanctify them with truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. That's the way that the word does it. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Devil said there is no hope. Amen. The devil said you're always going to be that away. Devil said there's never going to be change. Devil said you're never going to have anything different. But the word of God, amen, began to speak. And it wasn't just man's intelligence. Even as Paul would say, I didn't come to you with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the power and of the Spirit. Amen. And you begin to feel and begin to see and begin to sense that demonstration of the power and of the Spirit that was there. And amen, that preached word of God began to work upon you, and you began to feel chill bumps running up and down the back of your spine, and the hair on the back of your neck began to stand up. And that preacher that doesn't know me, but yet he's preaching my life. Nobody in the service knows me, but yet they act like, amen, the preacher acts like he's known me basically my entire life. It's the word of God that has a way. The word of God has a way of talking to you when the minister doesn't even know who he's talking to. But that's the love of God reaching out for you. Praise God. Amen. Preaching still works. Amen. Even Jesus himself would stand before all of them and he would say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek, proclaim liberty to the captives and opening of the prisons to them that are bound. Amen. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You didn't believe before you received the Holy Ghost. You didn't believe before you heard the word of God. You didn't believe, amen, before all of this began to happen unto you. Amen. You were caustic. You were careful. Amen. You had your concerns. You had your, amen, beliefs and your unbeliefs. Amen. But to be set free wasn't one of those beliefs. But when you heard the word of God, there was something that began to spring up on the inside of you. When you heard the word of God, there was hope that began to resurrect. Romans chapter number 10. Amen. Beginning at verse number 14, Paul said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of the peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Verse number 17, he said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's what I'm talking about. Amen. Something began to spring up within you when somebody began to preach, and you began to say, maybe there is hope. You began to say, maybe there is a chance. You began to say, maybe there is light. Amen. And that began to pop up through the ground, and you began to reach. And as you began to reach, God reached down to you and picked you up out of the miry clay. And before you knew it, you were on your way to an altar, repenting of your sins, and God met you there, and he filled you with the precious baptism of the Holy Ghost, changed your life, set the course of your life in a different direction, gave you things you never dreamed of. Amen. Gave you hope beyond all imaginations. God has been good to you, but it started through the compelling of the word of God in your life. Let's love him here today. Praise God. God really has never changed his mode. He's always stuck to preaching. He's always stuck to preaching. Samuel was the preacher. Saul was the listener, but he didn't like what Samuel had to say a lot of times. And the list goes on, and you see the minor prophets, and you see the major prophets. And some of the minor prophets were raised up, such as Obadiah and Jonah. They were raised up for one purpose, to go preach to a people, not a person, but a people. Jonah was raised up to go preach to Nineveh, and that's all that we ever read that really ever happened with Jonah. We read of others that they lasted through kings, and they was actually there, and they were actually the prophets for multiple kings. But God always had that when his people would stray, he would send a preacher back to them to call them unto repentance. And when he wanted to talk to somebody, such as the Gentiles that was in Nineveh, he called Jonah and sent Jonah down to preach unto them. Things didn't change. The Bible said that John the Baptist was a preacher and that he preached in the wilderness. Amen. Things didn't change. When Jesus Christ came, the Bible said that when he came up out of the water and that when he began to make his way after the wilderness, that he began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And everywhere he went, he was preaching the gospel. And when he ascended up onto heaven, he passed this message of preaching unto men today. And Peter would stand up on the day of Pentecost and he would preach unto them when they would say, men and brethren, what must we do? Peter stood up and he preached unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus. My. I want you to realize it wasn't prophecies that filled them with the Holy Ghost. Some people are so enamored, overwhelmed, overcome, so endowed with prophecy. Prophesy unto me. It wasn't prophecies that filled him with the Holy Ghost. Peter stood up and said, this is that which the prophet Joel has spoken. Amen. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit. They didn't all receive the Holy Ghost because that he was prophesying or he was initializing or he was bringing up a prophecy. Amen. They prayed through the Holy Ghost because he told them, you got to repent. You got to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you got to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And he said, furthermore, you're going to save yourself from this untoward generation, and the promises unto you. We know that. Amen. But it was because he began to preach the gospel unto them. Repentance, baptism, the infilling of the Holy Ghost. Paul didn't change the message when he began to preach. Go to Romans chapter number 6. Amen. And if you will be very careful in watching, amen, through the first, I think it's 9-12 verses, somewhere in there, you will see that the burial and the resurrection is mentioned there. Amen. Throughout those verses, he was preaching the burial. Amen. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. All three of those words are there. Amen. He said, what shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. For how shall we that are dead live any longer therein? And he talks about the death, and then he talks about the burial, being baptized with Jesus. And then he talks about, if we've done these things, we shall also rise in resurrection with him. And so Paul was preaching the death, the burial, and the resurrection. And he told Timothy and Titus to preach the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Why? Because that's what's going to save, amen, the world in that day and time. And that's what's going to save the world in this day and time. They don't need a pat on the back and make them feel good about themselves. They need to know that they are on their way to hell if they don't change up. Praise God. It may not be the most popular message, but it is the most powerful message. Hallelujah. Putting a band-aid on it isn't going to help it, friend. You need to get down to business with God. You need to repent of your sins. You need to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of those sins. And you need to be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then you need to live a life that is separated unto God. You need to live a holy life. You need to live a dedicated life, a faithful life unto him, because you don't belong to yourself anymore. You've been redeemed. You've been purchased with the price of blood, and you belong to God. Know ye not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? We belong unto God. I don't want to belong unto anybody else. I'm happy belonging to God. He knows my ways and no way the ways that I take. He knows my past, everything about me. God has been good to me. Praise God. And the devil hates preaching. Sing your songs. Play your music. Satan has said they don't have that much power in them. Praise God. But there's something about preaching. The devil hates preaching. That's why he's tried to silence the voice of the preacher throughout all the years. Praise God. Amen. You just go look at the 12 disciples. All 12 of them were preachers, including the 12th Matthias. So that was the 13th. Judas went and did his thing, but then there were 12 again as Matthias was brought in. And they were all preachers. But you look at all of them. Go look at the Fox's Book of Martyrs and what happened to all the preachers except for John. They killed him. Shut the mouth of the preacher. What did they do with Stephen? Stephen was preaching to all of them, and they were pricked to the heart. Amen. And what did they do? They silenced the mouth of the preacher. They killed him. They crucified Peter upside down. They boiled John in oil, but didn't kill him. Left him on the Isle of Patmos, but he wouldn't die. Amen. And all the others, suffered martyrdom and stuff because the devil hates preaching because he knows that there's deliverance in preaching, power in preaching. He knows that there is healing and stuff that can come through all of this. Amen. Samaria, Philip was preaching there, and there were unclean spirits that were cast out. The lame were healed. People were filled with the Holy Ghost. The man at the gate of Beautiful was confronted by two preachers. Amen. Peter and Paul and Silas were in the jail, and they were preachers. And the jailer is converted by the preached word of God. Nineveh would happen. Hezekiah, Paul, Ananias, all of these others began to preach unto them, and people's lives were changed. And that's why the devil hates preaching. Devil doesn't want you to come to church to hear preaching. Amen. He'll try to make you be sick on church night. You feel perfectly fine Thursday, Friday, Saturday, but you ain't going to feel good on Sunday and Wednesday. Amen. Some of you need to recognize that and understand. Why is it that every Wednesday night I get sick? Why is it that every Sunday I don't feel good? Amen. It's because the devil doesn't want you to have liberty. He doesn't want you to have victory. Amen. Doesn't want you to pray through. He doesn't want you to have hope. He doesn't want you to have healing. He wants you to live despondent, depressed. Amen. He wants you to live in all of that. But there is victory. There is hope. There is salvation. And there's liberty in the house of God. Don't get upset and mad because the preacher is preaching. God wants you to have victory. The devil wants you to stay bound. God wants you to have healing. The devil wants you to stay sick. God wants to set you free. The devil wants you to stay bound up. Amen. The carnal mind is enmity against God. Amen. Can't understand the things of God. Not able to understand it. But when the preached word of God comes forth, all of a sudden light comes on. Revelation comes. Enlightenment comes. And we begin to see. And God is exposing the works of darkness. Amen. And God is getting glorified through it all. Praise the Lord. Sin causes people to feel as if there is no hope. There is no cause. That's what sin does. Sin brings condemnation. Sin causes a life to be lived in depression. Sin would lie and say you're having so much fun, all the while hiding the diseases, the cancers, the STDs, and the sclerosis of the liver, and all of these things that's happening, and such. The mind's blown. Jail records. Amen. Hiding all of that. But here comes the word of God and bringing light unto it. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And so the text says that the word of God can convert your soul. The word of God can rejoice the heart. The word of God is able to enlighten the eye. And I know that the word of God in these particular verses speaks as in present tense and as is done. And I believe it. The Bible says that the word of God converts the soul. Yes, it does. It has potential to convert the soul, is what we could better say. It has the potential to convert every sinner, no matter where they are in life, no matter what they're dealing with, no matter what they're going through. The Word of God possesses the potential to touch them, to change them. Bible said that the Word of God rejoices the heart. It does. But we could better say that it possesses the potential to rejoice the heart. Bible says that the Word of God enlightens the eyes, and it does. And we could say again that it possesses the potential to lighten the eyes. And I say it like that because God is not going to push His will on anybody. If the soul doesn't want converted, like Michael didn't want converted, the Word of God isn't going to hogtie him and change him. If the soul doesn't want to be set free, if the individual doesn't want to be set free and doesn't want to experience joy and would rather live a life of despair and depression, God's not just going to throw a bucket of joy on you and change your life. The Word of God possesses the potential to enlighten an individual. But yet, if you want to be blind to the things of God, you can be. You can refuse to see it. You can harden your heart and say, I just don't see it. Amen. You can do that. The Bible even said that God would send them a strong lie, that they would believe a delusion and be damned. Praise God. Be lost forever because they refuse to see it. Well, I just don't see that. I don't see why. Praise God. But the Word of God is very plain. Amen. The Word of God is very plain. Praise God. Word of God gives us the keys to get out of the dark areas of life. The Word of God tells us to repent. The Word of God tells us to be baptized. Word of God tells us that we should receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And the Word of God says that we should receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. All of these things the Word of God said, this is the potential that can happen if you will allow it to happen. But there's a verse in the Bible that is so very intriguing. Hebrews chapter number 4. Hebrews 4 and 2. The Bible says that for unto us was the gospel preached, the death, the burial, and the resurrection. Unto us was the gospel preached as well as it was unto them. But the word of God preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. It was the same word. I have watched so many times throughout my small life ministry. I have stood in some of the most powerful services that could happen. I've seen all kinds of miracles. One particular service that comes to mind was a service where there were two men in that service, multiple people, probably 80 to 100 people there. But there were two men that had the exact same problem. Both of them had torn ACLs. Different ways, but both of them had torn ACLs. Word of God come, the power of God come, the Spirit of God come through, the word of healing come through, word of faith came through. One man grabbed it and took the word of God, took God at his word and proclaimed healing. And he told me, he said, I want you to pray for me that God would touch my knee right now and heal me. And so I prayed for him and he began to stomp with that same knee that he had the ACL tear. And he just began to continue to stomp and he jumped and God instantly healed him. But there was another man that had the same problem and he sat back there in the back and he watched it all. He didn't come to the front. One man walked out healed. The other man walked out limping and would have to have surgery. You see, there is potential that we can talk about and we can preach that the Word of God is powerful and the Word of God can set every soul free. But somewhere or another, potential has a limited power, and that power or that limitation is you and me. Amen. We are the variable that disallows God from doing the things that he can. If God doesn't heal, it's not because it's not in his word. If God doesn't heal, it doesn't mean because that's not necessarily his will. Amen. But somewhere or another, there has got to be faith that is mixed in all of this. It's got to get beyond saying, God, I believe that you can do it for everybody else, but I don't know that you're going to be able or that you would do it for me. Why not? I sat right here. I stood right here the other day and I listened to Sister Worth's testimony. Amen. And it began to race cold chills up and down my back. She said, I came to the place that I had to say, God, you're willing to do this for me. You're faithful and you desire to do this for me. I just gotta get me out of the way. Gotta get my mindset out of the way. Gotta get my ideologies out of the way. And when you can get that out of the way, you are allowing a God that has all power to begin to descend down into your situation. Where there seems there is no answer, God's got an answer. Where there seems there's no ability, God's got the ability. When there seems there's a weakness, God comes through with his power. There is power in God. There is power in his word. But the potential is limited through us. But if we can stop and if we can say, let me get out of the way and let God move. It's not just saying I'm going to sit here and do nothing while I wait for God to do something. But I'm going to mix it with faith. I'm going to put my faith in God. I'm going to reach out to him. I may not have felt healing yet, but I'm doing it again today. I may have not have been healed yet, but I'm coming back today. God's word is forever settled in heaven. I shall not, will not refuse to, amen, limit the potential power of the word of God. Let's stand and worship him here tonight. Oh, praise the Lord. I'm coming up against a measure of doubt about right now, but that's okay. Word of God is still true, and the word of God is still powerful. Hallelujah. Amen. The reality is they say there's no buildings available, but I'm talking about a God that's able to raise a building up out of the dirt, out of nowhere, and to make something available. They say there's not enough money. I've got a God that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills, and he'll provide whatsoever money is necessary and needed at any given time. They say, oh, there can never be revival in that little bitty church. I serve a God that's got big plans for this church. I serve a God that says it's my will to fill up the church. They say things can never happen. I serve a God that says otherwise. I refuse to settle for something less than God has planned. I do not want to limit the potential that God has put within this church. It takes my faith. It takes your faith. It takes more than just standing there. It takes more than just listening. It takes more than just observing. It takes us mixing it with faith. We got to take the word of God with faith and jump right out in the middle of it and say, oh yes, I'm not just going to stand by, but I'm going to get right in the middle of it. I believe it, preacher. I'm with you, preacher. I'm with you, pastor. Amen. If Jesus said it, then that settles it. I'm not going to doubt. I'm not going to, amen, fear. Oh, if God be for us, then who can be against us? Come on, why don't you bring your problem to an altar here tonight and just put it down with faith? Amen. You can put your problem down and go ahead and throw the faith in there and just begin to mix it. Hallelujah. The word of God was preached unto them just like it was preached unto us. But the word preached did not
profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. I don't want to be of that sort. Hallelujah. I said, I don't want to be of that sort. I'm going to mix it with faith. I'm going to put faith right in the middle of it. I'm going to believe that God can do it. Hallelujah. He's able. He's more than able to do it. He just needs me to join in with him. He needs me to believe it. Amen. As the centurion would say, Lord, we believe, but help thou our unbelief. Oh, yes, Jesus.